This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from the Office of Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome of East Baton Rouge Parish. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Your number is 877-217-5757. Robin Dow and Renee Martin producing. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. Today is New Member Monday. We are now in our spring drive for a few days, and we'd like for you, if you can, to donate at $5 a month. That's not a lot to ask, and become a new member, and you'll get a swag bag, including a license plate, a WRKF sticker, a cell phone holder, and a slim koozie. So we want to hear from you. 855-893-9753 or WRKF.org. That's 855-893-9753. And your support is essential. And obviously at $5 a month, you become a member of the family at a low investment amount. And our family is more than 4,000 people strong. And Robin Dow always puts the members front of the pack when you call this show. So 855-893-9753. Fred Rayford is with us. Now, he works for the mayor president, who is a underwriter for this show, obviously, but our discussion with him will not be tainted one way or the other by our association with the mayor's office as a sponsor of this program. But Fred Rayford's a guy who's been through several mayors. Fascinating guy from Estruma High. Many may not know, but he was a star strong safety for the Nichols Colonels back in the 1970s. And for 37 years, he's held positions at high level of public works. He's the director of transportation and drainage, and he's here to discuss our infrastructure. And in Baton Rouge, we have a humid climate. We got lots of drivers, few of whom are not very good at it. And we have problems with our roads. It goes with our climate, usually lots of rain too over the course of a year. All of that contributes to erosion of our roads. But Move BR is the largest and most significant transportation infrastructure investment in the history of our parish. And how's it going? And good to see you again.
Thank you, Fred Rayford. I appreciate it, Jim. Long overdue. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's been over a year. That's too long. We need to get an update yearly at least from Fred Rayford. But how's Move BR?
It's going well. I mean, we have a lot of projects sitting in the chute to be able to get out from a construction standpoint. I'll go over a little bit of those projects in just a general. But in reality, while a lot of people think about COVID, you know, COVID-19, when it happened and things like that, it did delay our projects a little bit, but from an engineering and design standpoint. But we've caught back up. We're to the point where now we're doing acquisition of right-of-ways as necessary to get some of these projects underway. But, and then the clearing and grubbing takes place, and then the utility relocates. All those, whether people believe, are real challenges to get a project actually underway.
877-217-5757. I understand there are 40 projects going on right now.
Yes, sir. We have a variety of projects underway. Number one, from a construction aspect, also from clearing and grubbing, and also from a relocation of utilities. We are right where we nearly need to be. But I think more people want to see the construction take place, and I get that. They want to see, the drag line sitting out there, dozers doing the work. And I think you'll see that. You're going to see a lot of that this year. Now, that's going to be another issue because some people are going to feel we got too much going on at one time. But we need to move forward with our program. We are behind in regards to getting our infrastructure where we need to be. And I'm about pushing.
Hal and Monroe ask, how many mayors for whom have you worked?
Well, in Baton Rouge, I worked for four mayors here. And when I left after I retired with 29 and a half years of service, I was asked to be the chief administrative officer of the city of Walker. I worked for three mayors there. I've been moving around with things like that, but I love trying to serve the public, and that's been my goal and objective, that's for sure.
So the mayors here, obviously Mayor Broome, Mayor Holden, Tom Ed, Bobby Simpson.
Bobby Simpson, and actually Woody Dumas is who hired me.
Well, that'd be five.
Yes, sir.
Five mayors.
Yes, sir.
877-217-5757. And roads, of course, are funded through various means, and there are all kinds of infrastructure projects that require both federal, state, and local participation. If you were to have a pie chart, how much comes from each entity?
Well, most of the funds right now are coming from the MUBR, the half-cent sales tax, that was approved in December 2018. We started collecting the tax in April of 2019. Most of the funds are coming from that. Mm-hmm. We are securing federal dollars. We've been very fortunate to get InfoGrant funds that many of the congressional delegations been able to help us move forward with a lot of our projects, particularly like the Florida mm-hmm. Boulevard
right.
and also the Airline Highway mm-hmm. Project, which is where most of our funding has been allocated at this point. We just recently were able to receive a $13 million federal grant for the Thomas Road Project. So there are a lot of different phases that we're plugging in. I never want to miss out on the opportunity to get federal dollars to help us move through.
Tracy at the Capitol asked, did you ever work for Pat Scree?
Yes, I did.
Well, that'd be six mayors then. We've got it up to six.
I was going to tell you, it started with Woody, but you rolled on with it, so we're good.
Okay. David in Atlanta. Now, I go to Atlanta every now and then, and they've got terrible traffic, but it moves. Of course, they got lots of lanes, but still they got lots of people. In Baton Rouge, sometimes it's at a standstill, and that troubles people. And before we go to David, because I'm eager to hear what he has to say, but what about the expansion of I-10? It seems like every time we add a lane, it just adds more people traveling, and it really doesn't change a lot.
Well, I also believe the old slogan is, you build it, they will come. And I think that will be with traffic in general. I mean, no question, it's not under the city's responsibility as DOTDs, but we work very closely with DOTD because it impacts all our drivers. And quite frankly, most people have no idea if it's the highway department or the city of Baton Rouge project. They just know, let's get it done, what we're going to get done, mm-hmm. and when can we finish these projects out. And so that's been our position. We work very closely with DOTD. We have to because it's essential because they are major roadway owners of roadways in our parish.
Okay, David, what's on your mind this morning, my friend? David in Atlanta.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask you, Gaz, how disappointing is it when you consider what, first of all, infrastructure spending, I think, fits in very well with President Biden's plan to build from the bottom up and the middle out because it creates good jobs and people spend that money. It's an economic boost. And every Republican in the Congress, in the House from Louisiana, voted against it. And I'd like to point out that the Trump corporate tax cuts, according to Morgan Chase, 43% went to corporations.
All right. Well, what about infrastructure? Biden did get a big infrastructure plan, and David's right. The Republican delegation voted against it in Louisiana, except for Bill Cassidy. He voted for it, and now he's taking a lot of credit, as I presume he should.
Yeah. Well, to me, anytime there are federal dollars that we've applied for, Matt Broome has made it very clear, I want to at least be told no. We didn't meet the requirements, and we received a lot of road improvement grants, but some. The more important issues also are like sidewalks and bike lanes where capacity issues where people don't have the capability of having a car. We want to be able to provide access for those locations and the amenities that go with that too.
Judy in North Baton Rouge. Hello, Judy. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I live in North Baton Rouge. I'm a little concerned about how we're neglected when it comes down to calling for noise pollution, for people racing up and down our streets. Why does it seem like North Baton Rouge doesn't get as much attention as South Baton Rouge? Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Well, from my perspective, and I'm sorry you're having that problem, and certainly if you want to give me a holler back later and let me know what these locations are that you're a little frustrated with, I'll be more than happy to try to help you address that. There's no difference from my perspective. I have a parish that I'm responsible for, and including sometimes the city limits of Baker and Zachary and Central, because the mayor is the mayor of the parish, and we do what we can to try to address that. if you're worried about noise and pollution, things like that, there are traffic calming issues that we can look at. But certainly I need to know where you're talking about, what are those issues, and let me see what we can do to address it. Because we do a lot of work of traffic calming, which slows down cars, number one. And if you're going to have cars that make a lot of noise, that's outside my scope. That'd be more in tune to the police department or the sheriff's office in regards to how could that be addressed appropriately.
877-217-5757. The listener asked about Move BR, and it was funded by a half-cent sales tax approved by the voters in 2018. It became effective in 2019 and continues for 30 years, and proceeds can only be spent on an approved list of projects. So it's an important part of what's going on. Fred Rayford will be back for another segment with him. Then it's Gary Beard, and you are listening to Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Today's New Member Monday. We'd like for you to contribute. At only $5 a month, you'll get the swag bag full of a lot of goodies, including a license plate, the WRKF sticker, cell phone holder, a slim koozie, and you'll done your good deed and be on the rolls as a member of the family, as an investor in WRKF. And the number to call to participate in that realm is 855-893-9753, 855-893-9753. The number for us, as we continue with Fred Rayford for another segment, the road guy, then we have the water guy. So we're covering a lot of bases today. The number is 877-217-5757. A listener did ask, you said people can contact you. What's the best way to do that, Fred?
Probably the best is through my phone, cell phone. I'm going to give that out.
You're going to give
I don't have a problem with that because everybody else has it in the parish.
You're a brave man. You're a brave man, but go ahead.
726-8001.
Bet you'll be hearing from Gustavo in Goodwood.
I'm sure. Yes, sir. I hear from him all the time.
I know.
And he brings up some good points, you know, but...
He cares.
So I think he does.
About what? I'm not sure, but he cares.
Yeah. Yes,
726-8001.
Yes, sir.
Myron in Park Forest. Myron, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim and Rayford.
Yes, sir.
I have written numerous complaints. As I leave out of my subdivision going to work, I have Greenwood Springs Road, Choctaw of Florida. It doesn't matter which way I go. We're running over wet, fresh concrete, and we don't know who really to call other than City Parish to try to get something done. We know that the owners of these plants, one of them used to be a member of the city council, and it seems like the city council is doing nothing to deter him from this pollution.
All right. You're getting down in the weeds, but obviously you get calls like this all the time, and Myron's obviously a thoughtful and concerned citizen.
Well, I will just say that we are aware of the problems that the concrete trucks are doing. I just made aware of the problem PQ, which we are addressing right now with the actual concrete owner. Because it's not just his trucks, there are other trucks that come and use the facility. I am aware also by the councilman, I think Cleve Dunn has indicated to me about the problem out of Park Forest. I will see where we are in regards to that, because I've checked with our inspection division who oversees that, and I'll follow up and see. But there's three or four plants that we had some concerns about, because of overspills and dropping concrete on the roadway. Not only does it creates a hazard for motoring public, but also it makes it very unsafe when it does harden up. If we don't get to it, it creates a traffic issue for us too.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And following up, Judy in North Baton Rouge's concern about how that area may be underserved as far as projects. A listener does note that Plank Road is getting a big re-sprucing.
Yeah, and that's one of the projects that I wanted to mention, because it is critical for the infrastructure, especially with the new program, the bus rapid transit. As I mentioned to you earlier, is that not everybody has the luxury of having a car to go where they want to go, and a lot of people count on basic transportation needs to get to and from work, to and from grocery stores and things like that. We will receive bids on April 18th of the Bus Rapid Transit, which requires major upgrades of Plank Road from Airline Highway all the way down to Florida Boulevard at this point. And then we're going to be working with DOTD to be able to get improvements from Florida all the way to 3rd Street, and because it's still owned by the state. And we will be ultimately be tying into the Nicholson Drive project. We'll bring it all the way down to LSU area. This involves major upgrade of the roadways, curbs, gutters, bus 23 bus stop locations, very technology-oriented. There's no question about that. New lighting, all those components that will be part of the Bus Rapid Transit that CATS is dealing with, and they're building their new station, also a transfer station up in North Baton Rouge, to try to help facilitate moving people to and from where we need to be. So that's a major project. It's going to be probably 2 years. And trust me, there will be people complaining about the work, because it's a long project. It's probably about 6 miles worth of work that's going to have to be done.
Fred Rayford, 37 years he's been doing his thing at high levels public works in our community, and he is a person who now has the title, appropriately, of Director of Transportation and Drainage for East Baton Rouge Parish. And a listener, Tom on Bluebonnet, asks about congestion on College Drive. What's being done to remedy that?
Well, one of the issues that we believe that will help facilitate moving traffic is to look at get a lot of the traffic off of College, especially for all the turning movements. And everybody wants to go to all the fast food places and end up coming in and out. It creates really congestion on College itself. We're looking at building it what they call a package road. It's a roadway within the parking lot itself that will be owned by the city of Baton Rouge. We're going to buy the security right-of-way that's necessary, try to get people off of Perkins, get them into the actual shopping area itself between
Hobby Lobby thing?
Yeah, the Hobby Lobby, yes. So it's up in that area, and have that connection of the street that I believe that will be helpful. Facilitate moving traffic. Also, we're looking to move one over to the Walmart shopping center that will go out onto another street we had that goes out onto Perkins Road.
All right. Edward in Mid-City, you're on with Fred Rayford. Hi, Edward.
Good morning to all. Mr. Rayford, why haven't progress been made on North 36th Street, although all the paperwork has been signed and agreed to?
Yes, sir. It was because we just did the actually signed the contracts, and you're right. And with that 36th Street, it will be one that probably will be done getting started sometime before the end of this month.
Thank you, Edward. Stuart downtown. Hello, Stuart.
Why, thanks, Jim, and the audience, and Mr. Rayford. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Rayford, two things: red light synchronization. And particularly on side roads that lead to main arteries. Case in point, McClellan to Airline, usually it only allows one or two cars in before it turns red again.
Well, I'll have to look at that, because one of the things that we've done is, and quite frankly, whether people believe it or not, side streets are sometimes going to have some little more difficulty. Normally you're going to get more than 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, that's for sure, but I will ask our traffic people to look into that, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. But you're not always going to be on the main street and also catch all the green lights. I mean, that's a fact. Also, the system is set up on our major corridors where we can help facilitate traffic moving from one point to another point. And I would just say, for people who drive every day from their house to their work and they use some of the major arteries, which we have about 17 that are set up with a timing plan to be able to help facilitate traffic moving. Now, what we are going to do is try to be sure that it's consistent. You know, you don't want to make one day going 20 minutes, and it's, you know, next day you go an hour. That's not the way we want to move traffic. I think that's what part of the program is, to be consistent on how we address traffic movement within our parish. And, you know, as you well know, is that there are always going to be accidents, but we also know that we have the capability of moving and making changes in the time on the signals to help move traffic more through there without having a problem that, and it's real-time right. changes at the center.
Steve in Southdown. Steve, you're on with Fred.
Yeah, a quick question. Can you give us the timeline on College Drive and when that's going to be three-lane and about how long that's going to take?
Well, first thing we're going to do is do an overlay. It's going to be a brief overlay because the roadway is in dire need of some help. There's no question about that. We look to be able to buy the right-of-way on the College Drive project that we're talking about, the package road, and also the widening, probably end before the end of this year. Construction-wise, as soon as we can move forward with the package road to get traffic off, and then we still have to do the acquisition of right-of-way that's necessary at Perkins and College. But I would look at probably 2025 before you would see the actual widening part take place.
Well, thank you. We'll spend just a few more minutes with Fred Rayford, and then it's Gary Beard, and we're back after this. This is Jim Inkster. We're wrapping it up with Fred Rayford, and thanks for participating. And Fred will be back soon. And then it's Gary Beard, and he's got quite a story to tell as well. But we do want to remind you that this is a day in which one of those rarities, we seek your support. We don't do it that often. But thanks to a donor from New Roads who called to give just a few moments ago, Alice, who also contributed. And if you donated just $5 a month, you can become a new member. Get a swag bag, including a license plate, a WRKF sticker, a cell phone holder, and a slim koozie. So the number to do that is 855-893-9753, WRKF.org. And the number to reach us is 877-217-5757. And I know Shelby in Capitol Heights has been waiting a little while, so we want to slide Shelby in, and then we'll go from Fred Rayford to Gary Beard, but you'll be our final caller for Fred. Shelby, good morning.
Good morning. Forgive me if you might have already covered this, but the flashing yellow lights instead of a turn signal, I find it making me not be able to turn left and people backing up. It's instead of getting attention, it's annoying.
Well, I mean, the system that we put in place, because quite frankly, depending on the traffic movement itself, and we have some locations that we've been asked to relook at the flashing yellow arrow, but it does make a tremendous benefit from turning movements where you're not sitting there and nobody's coming in the other direction and you'd like to be able to turn. The flashing yellow gives you that opportunity. Now, you still have to be mindful of the traffic that may be crossing or coming down from another location. But, you know, if you're talking about the one on Acadian and Capitol Heights,
I think she's gone, but okay. But at any rate, they're all over the city now,
yeah.
and this is not just a Baton Rouge phenomenon. There have been studies showing this actually helps, and in most cases, I think it does. But if you hit a real hot spot, it can be a mess.
It can be, and we are looked at. And when we get those calls, we actually go out there and do those investigations. And what we will do is probably give more timing for that left turn movement. That's for sure.
Okay, thank you, Fred Rayford. See you soon. And we're turning it over to Gary Beard. Many remember him in the state legislature. He served two terms in the final term of Mike Foster and the only term of Kathleen Blanco. He represented Baton Rouge, and he has been head of the Capital Area Groundwater Conservation Commission for some time. And there are some new developments, but if I remember right, the organization was created in the late 1970s, and good morning to you, Gary Beard.
Good morning.
What was it designed to do when it was created?
Basically, the legislature determined that they needed to have a group, a district, if you will, which comprised also of a commission of members of the geographic area, to be able to come together and determine what was best for the underground aquifer that serves the needs of the Capital Area. The Southern Hills Aquifer is an underground system of multiple stratas of sands that go from central Mississippi all the way out toward the Gulf. And those strands of water-bearing sands, if you will, provide all of our drinking water in this area.
And we are touted, I think justifiably so, for having some of the best water in the country.
Oh, absolutely. The water, and many people don't realize this, but the water that we drink today actually comes from rainfall in central to lower Mississippi that happened anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 years ago. So at the time of Pax Romana and the birth of Christ, rains were falling in central Mississippi. And today, 2,000 years later, we're extracting that water from the ground and benefiting from those thousands of years of purification.
Is there a real concern about saltwater intrusion?
Oh, absolutely. And we have multiple stratas that of water supply underground. Almost all of those that we're using for our drinking water supply have a problem with saltwater intrusion. Salts from the salt domes in the south are moving northward. There's actually two fault lines also in Baton Rouge. One runs along the 10-12 corridor where the so-called new bridge is, okay?
Right.
And there's another one that runs along Airline Highway near where the old bridge, I think they're both old, but anyway, the older bridge is.
And yeah, the new bridge is 53 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, exactly. So the salts are moving across the southern fault northward. So most of the stratas have varying degrees of salt water that has moved northward. Our job at the Capillary Groundwater is to do all things necessary to preserve and protect this precious water supply.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Now, I know a lot of environmental advocates are concerned about Senate Bill 432, which I think is due for a committee hearing tomorrow. What exactly would this do?
Senate Bill 432 does several things. First, it establishes what industrial representatives can be on the board of directors, the board of commissioners. And it also prevents small water companies from having a voice, and it allows only one water company, the Baton Rouge Water Company, to have a voice on the board.
And you work hand in glove, I would imagine, with the people who are involved.
In writing the bill?
Well, not in the writing the legislation, but whatever the legislation, the law is, you have to comply, and
you have to work with all
of these entities.
That's correct. We work with the board to make the decisions. The board makes the decisions, actually. I just implement the wishes of the board. When I first took over as executive director, we had a legislative auditor that had come in and gave a scathing report that this district was not doing its job, was not fulfilling its mandates under the law. And so the board implemented new programs of going out and metering, putting independent, verifiable meters on all wells, all 300 wells within the district. Prior to that, just so you know, and most people don't realize it, it was self-reported. Somebody would have a well, and they would, at every 3 months, write us a note and tell us how much water they took out of the ground. And there's no way of verifying. It's a pump with no reader on it. And sometimes they had meters, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they just gauged it with a stopwatch and a bucket.
Literally. And this would include Mike Exxon.
Yes.
But now, what is it like? Has there been an adjustment to that?
Well, the board voted to have a company go in and put in independent meters on every single well in the district. Now, the data goes to LSU and through the Water Institute of the Gulf. We have a contract with them to build a three-dimensional model of this entire district so that we would know exactly how much water is coming out of the ground. And then LSU would build a three-dimensional model of our underground aquifers, a predictability model, so that we would know how bad the salts are and what we can do to combat it. So this model would show us how bad the salts really are and where the new wells need to be so that we can stop the salts from moving northward. According to LSU, if we do nothing, we've gone past the tipping point. The salts will continue to move northward underneath our feet.
877-217-5757. We will go to the phones in short order with Gary Beard, Executive Director, Capital Area Groundwater Conservation District. He's also an engineer and an inventor, so he is more than just a spokesperson. He definitely knows this about as well or maybe better than anybody else. But the Senate Bill 432, as you can imagine, I've been contacted by some environmental advocates, and one says it would require nearly all members of the commission come from industry or the Baton Rouge Water Company. Is that correct?
It changes the makeup of the board where it restricts what groups the governor can pick from for industry representatives, and it guarantees that Baton Rouge Water has a seat on the board and small water companies could not. But it also says that Baton Rouge Water Company would not have to put an independent meter on their systems.
So it would undo?
It would undo everything that's being done right now.
We would be back to the way it was.
We have to take their word for how much water is coming out of the ground.
That would seem to be a concern.
Well, they actually sued the district already in the courts trying to prevent the independent metering of their wells.
877-217-5757, Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Yes, this is just a very disturbing trend. Their bills having to do with air as well. And, you know, the air we breathe, the water we're drinking, some folks feel they don't belong to us and that we shouldn't have any say in how they're managed, not to mention how safe they are. So obviously this is not upholding the public interest.
Okay. Gary?
Doug, thank you for your call. The water, and I believe, the water belongs to the people of Louisiana. It does not belong to for-profit corporations. It belongs to the people, and their representatives need to make a decision of how that water is utilized and do everything we can to preserve and protect that precious supply. Jim, for years, we've enjoyed this awesome supply. And I remember a few years ago, maybe several years ago, as a tenderfoot at Avondale Scout Reservation, we had this artesian well flowing. We'd wash our mess kits out. It was great. By the time I'd made Eagle, it had gone to a trickle. And one of the scoutmasters said, well, that's a natural occurrence. Well, it's a natural occurrence when you take too much water out of the ground.
And right now, we have a system in which there is a metering system, but you're saying that will go away. And another one of your people who follow this with you on the environmental side writes that the aquifer will be booted and replaced by industry representatives. It is something that I think people should know about. Senate Bill 432, something we'll talk about in our remaining moments with Gary Beard after this. This is Jim Inkster. If you'd like to get in the final quarter hour with Gary Beard, Executive Director, Capital Area Groundwater Conservation District, give us a call at 877-217-5757. And a reminder that if you're listening and have never joined WRKF, we'd like to have you part of the family, and you can do so for $5 a month. You get a swag bag, and all you have to do is give us a call. You're in and out in fewer than 89.3 seconds if you dial 855-893-9753. Senate Bill 432, slated for a hearing tomorrow. I believe the sponsor is Rick Edmonds. It would prevent the commission that Gary Beard leads from putting meters on BRWC's wells at Baton Rouge Water Company and require that members of the industry come from either industry or the Baton Rouge Water Company. So it would be a sweeping change, and we would go back to basically Scouts Honor report to us, but no meters. And obviously industry is in favor of this, and the environmental activists are all lathered up, and I suspect more than a few will call. But if you're on either side, and of course there are always at least two and usually 43 sides of an issue, please give us a call at 877-217-5757. Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Patricia, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Good morning. An engineer gave me a ballpark estimate that it would cost about $150 million for Exxon to switch to using river water instead of aquifer water. Do you think it would be possible to do a public/Exxon partnership to accomplish that? Thanks.
Yeah, there's some ways of being able to use public-private partnering arrangement contracts to do something along those lines. Exxon has moved in several areas, several arenas to go to the Mississippi River, as have some of the other industries. We're also looking at building reclamation facilities. We've approached LSU and Southern University about using wastewater, converting that into reclaimed water, and use the water, for example, for local industry near Southern, but also Tiger Stadium and the cooling towers. Let's not use our drinking water supply for irrigation, for watering golf courses, and for cooling towers when we can use an alternate supply to do that. So we're moving in that direction right now.
Are you confident the current metering system is working?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we've already installed almost, 150 to 200 wells already. And the metering system is working phenomenally well. We actually have tracked it, and we're finding that the self-reporting was not only under-reporting the amount of water that was used, but more importantly, when they guessed as to mm-hmm. which well was sucking which how much water out of the ground, it was off by a factor, in some cases, up to 400%. So that means that when we're using data that's self-reported, the data is bad, and therefore the model is not as accurate as what we would like. The new data coming in off the metering program is very accurate. It's the best technology that we can get, and it's going to provide us with a very accurate model so that the engineers, the scientists, the geologists at Baton Rouge Water, at Water Institute of the Gulf, and also at LSU, can give us a very good solution, scientific solutions of how to stop the salts from moving forward. But we do have some groups such as Baton Rouge Water that are hindering that progress.
Well, and Gary is no, and I'm using an old term for Rush Limbaugh, no environmental wacko. You're an industry guy yourself, and you're saying things that are, based on the fact that you're saying them, are a cause for concern. It sounds like if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Right now, everybody is taking that position. A lot of people are taking that position, some in industry are working with us. I'm very thankful for that. But the biggest opposition that we've had right now is Baton Rouge Water, who is doing everything they can to stop us from putting meters on their wells.
David in St. Francisville. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Gary and Jim. The thing that, because I've gotten to know Gary well and have been involved with this for a while, is that without the accurate data, they cannot force industry to change its use of the water. You can't go to Exxon and say you have to do this unless you have the data to back it up. And so that's one of the reasons that for all these years, industry has fought tooth and nail to prevent the commission from getting the data that it needs so that it can enforce the use of the water. And Together Louisiana and other organizations, LEAN, Save Our Water, got involved several years ago. And one of the things we focused on was getting a bill which would remove industry representatives from the board. That they couldn't, not represent, but they couldn't put their own employees on the board. And so, and that has enabled us to go in, for the commission to go in and put the meters up. And so now this bill is going to completely undo that.
Does he have it right?
Pretty close, especially from the perspective of everything that we fought for so far to put meters, independent meters, accurate meters on every well in the district for the sole purpose of being able to create a model to make determinations of how we can save our water. Yet there's one company principally standing in the way, and that's the Baton Rouge Water Company.
There will be a committee hearing tomorrow morning at 10:30, Senate rooms A and B, I hear, Senate Bill 432. And obviously, if somebody from Baton Rouge Water wants to appear on this show, we welcome that opportunity. But industry always carries a lot of clout at the Capitol. I would imagine it will be a case in which things that on this show at this moment may seem like a no-brainer, when it comes to a committee hearing, it's a whole different environment, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Those people that show up at those committees really can influence how politicians vote on that particular day.
877-217-5757 for Gary Beard, who is the executive director of the Capital Area Groundwater Conservation District. Carol in Jefferson Terrace. Hello, Carol. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, you've answered most of my questions, but I do have one question. It's, do we have any idea how much of our potable water is used for non-potable uses, such as fire water or cooling water and things that you've mentioned? Thank you.
About 55 to 60% of the water is taken by water companies that supply water, drinking water supplies. But that doesn't mean that the water that's taken by, for example, Baton Rouge Water, doesn't go to industry itself. And in some cases, it does. It's piped out of East Baton Rouge Parish, and it goes all the way to Iberville. So it's transmitted quite a ways. So more importantly, it's a good point you've brought up, more importantly is that we have no jurisdiction over farming and agriculture. And about 30% of additional 30% of the water goes to ag. Mm-hmm. So I would say somewhere in the 30 to 40% range is industrial use, the rest of it for potable water supply. But they take about 52 billion gallons a year, 52 billion with a B. That's how much water is taken out of the ground every year of our drinking water supply.
52 billion.
That fills up Tiger Stadium every day and a half.
It's a lot of water. $52 billion. That's an astounding number. But Jeff in Beauregard Town says, would it be possible to get these industries to get water from the Mississippi?
Yes, it is. It is possible. It's going to be expensive. And I would like, as one of the other earlier callers said, I would like to work with industry to see what kind of financing we can help them with to get it done. And I'm very appreciative of industry's efforts so far to go to the Mississippi River. Some have done that very successfully, and we appreciate their efforts to do that.
Who are some of the big entities who have gone to the river?
Exxon is one of them. They've done quite a bit of work in going to the Mississippi River. Not 100% of the industries do that. Some, in fact, one of them went and inspected, and they're using Mississippi River for their industrial work, but their offices are supplied with drinking water supply for their, you know, for their drinking water.
Well, if nothing is done to alter the course, what happens moving forward? Are we headed for a collision here?
Yeah, if we don't keep doing what we're doing right now, the salt water will continue to move northward. It's already under downtown Baton Rouge. It's already threatening our principal water supplies. So if we do nothing, we lose. That's the words from LSU and from the Water Institute of the Gulf. We have to do this. And once we get this data, we will be able to come up with a plan to stop the salt water from moving forward. We do have some ideas now, and we have engineers working on it. I'm working very closely with them, and I believe that we'll have the solutions in place very, very, very soon.
Well, Gary Beard, it'll be an interesting hearing tomorrow. Will you testify?
I plan to testify, yes, sir.
And I suspect someone from Baton Rouge Water will.
I would assume that pros and cons of this bill will be there. I think it's poorly worded. I think it's a bad bill. I think it'll be detrimental to our efforts to preserve and protect the aquifer.
And this is one step in the process. It's got to go to the full Senate, got to go through a House committee, then the House, and then the governor. Are you confident? I didn't really know you had a position on this, but obviously I'm getting the impression you do. Are you confident this can be stopped, or is it uncertain?
I really don't know. You know, I don't serve up there anymore, and but I will tell you that I'm very hopeful that our delegation in Baton Rouge and the district, which is East and West Baton Rouge and Ascension Parish, East-West, and Pointe Coupee.
Thank you, sir. We'll see what happens, and we'll follow it with Gary Beard and all the rest of you. Until tomorrow, stay safe and stay tuned.